producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we teed up with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than our friend, the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. Hello, Bob Ney.
How are you, Kate?
I'm excellent. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Just watching the world revolve here with the news.
That's true. Remember, we're all just singular people spinning around on a planet that's going round and round every single day. Somebody told me something like that. I was like, what? There's some analogy some philosopher told me, actually. I thought, you got something screwed up there. You gotta straighten that out. Hey, I'm sure you're familiar with him. Ben Bradley. I think of the legacy. I think of the Watergate scandal and everything else with Ben Bradley. Dead at the age of 93. What a life that guy led, huh?
He was just, you know, when you think of people in television and the great standards, you know, Walter Cronkite. I mean, Ben Bradley was right up there when it comes to media. Just a classic.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what I think, too. Just absolutely a classic for sure. The thing that's really circulating besides Ben Bradley and people reminiscing about him, I think, over drinks tonight in Washington has to be what's going on with Ebola now. So some people have gotten out of the quarantine state in Dallas, the people closest to Tom Duncan, but we're still dealing with, okay, now we have an Ebola czar who starts on Wednesday, and now we have news that they're going to reroute the air passengers from any of the places where Ebola is prevalent, meaning the West African nations. And people from countries affected by the epidemic can only travel through 5 airports, which we know that was kicking in. Is this the right way to go, do you think?
I think it's all complicated, and I don't think it'll work. They've talked about everything. You stop travel. If anybody wanted to simplify it, if we're going to actually curtail anything, you could stop visas from being issued to America in those 3 countries. But then again, somebody can go to Germany, infect someone, and a German can get on a flight to America. So it's just, yeah. You know, with the world the way it is, I think a lot of these are feel-good things. You know, like even the temperature, I think it's a feel-good thing. I mean, we have to be cautious, but without panic. I think what's more important is when they have somebody like Mr. Duncan, and they have a team taking care of Mr. Duncan, and he has Ebola, they need to watch that team very closely for 21 days, and that team for 21 days doesn't need to be, and we appreciate their sacrifice, but they don't need to be running around the country or getting on airplanes and such things. And that might be able to at least contain it. I mean, we've only had, you know, the one outbreak, and now two, you know, one death and then 2 people infected.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting because the problems related to what happened with Tom Duncan, and then you saw what happened in Dallas, and now they say no Ebola people are going to be treated in Dallas. Is it the CDC? Is it, you know, I think it's just there's so many variables really in this one, don't you?
There are variables. I'll give you an example. They're near my granddaughter's school in Ohio. About, in fact, within 17 to 15 miles, there's a person, we don't know who, that was on the plane with the lady that went, Mrs. Benson, that went, you know, to Akron. And now it's been in the newspaper that a worker at the school has returned to the school, but they're watching them. And, you know, they put that in the paper, and I think they probably, you know, need to clarify, if that person's in that school, they really, as a precautionary measure, they're looking at them, but they obviously wouldn't let somebody go to a school that was in that much direct contact. They might have been, you know, on the plane or something. So you see a lot of that, and I think that in itself just tells you how this thing can potentially spread so quick, you know, around. But some of the things they're coming up with, like just stopping air travel, the Republicans have done a lot of that, Kate, you know, and even some of the Republicans are starting to back off of it because it's really just not going to work.
Yeah. I wanted to jump to something else before we let you fly. Early voting began, I noticed, in my neighborhood. What do you think with these midterm elections? Are we going to see a big switch in the Senate? Is that going to go the Republican way? Or do you think it's kind of a toss-up in the air, depending on where we're talking about overall? I think there's going to be some close votes.
Now, this is fascinating because it's multifaceted. It's not one answer like this tsunami sweep. I think it's either going to be controlled by one Democratic vote or by one Republican vote at best. And you have two independents, including Senator Angus from Maine, who already called the potential independent, Orman from Kansas, if he beats Pat Roberts. And he's already called him and said, hey, let's hang loose. Don't go with either party. Let's go to D.C. and hang loose. This is really fascinating. And then tonight is the debate, of course, with Senator Sheehan in New Hampshire. And that's going to be another interesting debate. She's in the lead. So I don't think this thing's done, as some people say, oh, the Republicans have taken it. And, you know, if it gets to one vote by either party, I bet you they start to have to actually do some things together because they're going to be in, they're going to be in such gridlock, they're going to make this year look productive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to watch, especially as we get closer and closer. It's getting down to the wire now. All right. Thank you so much, Bob Ney. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
One of the things we didn't talk about with Bob Ney is the cha-ching factor coming out of Washington. And the cha-ching factor isn't just, you know, everybody now reacting to all the days off and what that cost us, meaning paid leave, how many millions and millions of dollars, in fact, nearly $1 billion to federal workers. That was one of the highlights of our show the other day. But this ISIS fighting, what has it cost us so far to this point? You think of the 200-some airstrikes and now continuing on in the future, even you pony up the wagon to the coalition. Do you know what the so far has been spent, the Pentagon's official number? $424 million since August fighting the ISIS guys. Yeah, you knew it was not going to be a cheap proposition, right? I mean, that's what the United States has spent. Rear Admiral John Kirby, and this is what they're calling it, if you didn't know this, said Operation Inherent Resolve. Who came up with that one? Says it is, yeah, 7.6 mil, baby, every single day. And you take the 200 airstrikes in Iraq, throw in the 160 or so in Syria, or mix that up, about 360 all together. And that's the price of doing business. That's the price of bombing the crap out of the guys in black and trying to stop them dead in their tracks. I mean, mostly it's bombing runs and missile strikes. And some people are even calling for ground troops, to have ground troops so that they can double-check things and be able to stamp them out quicker. Do you think we need boots on the ground? Would you be thumbs up for putting a giant surge of American soldiers in that swath in Iraq and Syria? You know, I'm surprised by this, but there are a lot of people that are saying, well, if this is what we have to do to get rid of these beheading monsters, let's do it. Just a month ago, 34% favored airstrikes and combat troops. Now that number is rising, believe it or not. What is it? We'll talk about that on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Is it time to shake it up or not? Surprisingly, like I said, I was stunned to hear that more people, I mean, polls are polls, and, you know, I'm the poll princess, so to speak. The newest poll from NBC News Wall Street Journal is showing this, that 41% of the people who responded think ground troops and airstrikes are necessary. So 35% think it should just be limited to the airstrikes. And then there's a mere 15% who say no military action should be taken. So you're listening to me now, in whatever hamlet you hail from, whether it's Sarasota, Florida, or you're in Ottumwa, Iowa, or you're in Jersey City, you're in Austin, Texas, you're in Philly, wherever it happens to be, Missouri, the great state of Missouri, KC, you know. And you're hearing me say that. Are you surprised by that? 41% ground troops and airstrikes. Do you think we need to commit troops to the ground to just wipe these scumbags, for lack of a better word, off the face of the Middle East map? Because ultimately the worry is this will affect us. You know, over and over again, the one thing the president says, and we may have 50 slices of tape of him saying this. I guarantee here on America Tonight, we probably have that in the archive. So imagine what everybody else has, where he says he's not going to have another ground war in Iraq. He has said that over and over and over again. Remember, he said it in Tampa when he's at CENTCOM. He has said it when he's on the road, when he's talking to people, when he's asked about that, that he will not commit any more armed forces to fighting on the ground. But now look at it. If the sentiment is switching, and if we're looking at the amount of money that we're spending for all of the airstrikes, for all of the bombing, but then the one thing that is said constantly is, how do we consistently know, one, the targets that we've hit? How do we get in there and do a big major sweep? Because if we did that, then, you know, the ground troops would reinforce what's happening on the air, but that the air, frankly, isn't enough. And this is what the Iraq military is saying. The same guys who are dumping their guns and equipment and running for the hills because they feel like they don't have enough training when they're overwhelmed by ISIS. So I'm curious. You can send me an email, americatonight.net, or jingle these digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. What say you, America? Are you like these people that took this poll? Maybe they were hopped up on too much caffeine or didn't realize what they were being asked. Because mostly, I think, despite reports, even from some of the generals who feel like, yeah, we got this little bit of problem here, but they're going along with the commander-in-chief, there are people who believe that if we just smacked the boots on the ground, then we could really make this op sing. And we could eliminate ISIS. And for goodness sake, I mean, we're going to end up spending who knows how much, because we've been told over and over again that this is a long-term commitment, like 24, 30 months. So if it's that long, $424 million is a drop in the bucket. Almost $8 million a day is nothing compared to, in the end, what we will see the total will be. So would boots on the ground make this all happen faster? Would this shore up the Iraq military? Here's my vote. I was not polled. There is a chance I was hopped up on caffeine from coffee at some point during the day, but I was not polled. I will not put boots on the ground. I mean, I get the philosophy, but forget about it. We have invested so much blood, sweat, tears, limbs into Iraq and into Syria, I'd say no way. I mean, this is why you already have 40-some countries that are part of the coalition. So everybody else can pick up some of the slack, and they are. They are picking up some of it. We are the leader, even though it's unofficial because we don't want to be the leader. But we have already spent way too much time in that part of the world for efforts that are not winnable. And we know we've had so many soldiers. We've had so many commander types in the past on this show who have talked about it, who have talked about what's happened. Ex-colonels and whatnot. We had an ex-general on who talked about it, the frustration over that. And just last week, we had Andrew O'Brien on, who talked about meeting ISIS in the flesh back in 2009 and said how he would never put boots on the ground. He would never go back in there, and that it was disastrous and the morale and what happened was awful, and that there's no way he would support that effort. He did his time and he was there and he wanted to do it, but he talked about what really went on there, how disappointing it is. So I absolutely say no way, boots on the ground. And there's, with 2 years left, there's no way this president, as many times as he has said the one thing, I commit, I won't, as much as he has said that, there is no way. I can't even imagine what it would take. I mean, I guess I can imagine. If there was some major attack on the U.S. and this was ISIS-driven, then I suppose all bets would be off. But, boy, I'm certainly not hoping for that. With all that has happened with these lone wolves and how many Americans and Australians and Brits have been sucked into the ISIS machine. Oh boy. Disastrous is what that would be. And unfortunately, we cannot go back in a time machine, because if we could, then what we would do is reverse some of the decisions, I believe, that were made, including arming the Syrian rebels when they had a real, real shot at cutting off the head of ISIS as it was really starting to gain some ground. You know, it's interesting, too, while all this is happening, in another country, Afghanistan, a new report is saying that the opium trade is simply booming. Booming. You know, there is a $7 billion effort to stop the practice. It's called SIGAR, Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. It's a government watchdog group. They say that the opium production in this country set an all-time high just last year. That Afghan farmers grew an unprecedented, ready for this, 209,000 hectares of opium poppy, surpassing the peak of 193,000 in 2007. So much for the eradication of the poppy fields. There's just going to be more cultivation is what it's going to be in parts of rural Afghanistan. And that's where most of this is being grown. And, you know, we've spent, because that's the other part of this, for everything that we've spent and pushed into the sands of the Middle East, $7.6 billion on the drug war in Afghanistan. That's what we spent. Because, as you all know, poppies are made into heroin, and then it goes on the market. And heroin use is up. So that's, you know, the demand, and they're supplying it. They've got fertile land, and they have they've got a labor force that can do it. In the eastern parts of Afghanistan, they used to be able to say 5-6 years ago they were poppy free, but then suddenly the opium production quadrupled. So the value in the production of this, it's about money, right? $2 billion to $3 billion. It's just leaked. And as long as there's the demand for that narcotic, the farmers have the incentive to cultivate the poppy. They're not going to eradicate it. I mean, they're, you know, Afghanistan, just let me throw this out at you. All right. We already have the one thing going on, boots on the ground or not. Well, think about this. 85% of the opium in the world, it comes from Afghanistan. Afghanistan. Boy, we're really eradicating that, huh? Coming up next, politics of the day. One politician missing, another early voting. Hang with us.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrant, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. She'll ease you, she'll unease you. Her best her just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got Greta Garbo, stand on the side. She's got Betty Davis eyes.
All right, I said we were going to mix in a little politics here because it is once again that time of year where we're getting ready for the elections, and there's some early voting going on. So Scott Walker right now, Wisconsin governor, he's in a tight race. Walker is a tough fight against his opponent, Mary Burke, and both of them are all over the place speaking. I think he is being challenged more than he has been in the past, because Burke is out there shaking hands, targeting slow growth, job growth, talking about that on the campaign trail. And there's no doubt that Walker, with his record as governor and his aspirations to be a potential 2016 presidential hopeful, they're sitting right there on the line, because he would have to be reelected, certainly for sure. So he talked about some early voting, what the early voting turnout was like. Maybe he did. We'll get to Scott Walker coming up in just a bit here. But before we go there, and we're talking politics, we're going to tell you about the no-show. Let's go out to our pal Jack in Australia. Hopefully there's no crickets here. Hey, Jack.
Chip.
Whoops. I knew you would be there. I knew it.
The Dutch and the Germans are showing the United States how to fight ISIS. I don't know if you saw this, but some members of the Dutch, let me see if I can remember the Dutch pronunciation, Hertogina Mayonnaise, basically the Royal Commandos. Veteran of the Royal Commandos. They also had members of a veterans motorcycle gang petitioned the Netherlands government to allow them to travel into Syria and Iraq to fight against ISIS. They're fighting with the Kurds. There's a report I saw that three of these retired Dutch commandos are now commanding Kurdish battalions and teaching them how and leading them into the fight. We don't want official. They don't want official boots on the ground. Here's the nice compromise. You know, how about the Department of State clear people security-wise so they know they're going to the right side? Now, these people are volunteering their time, their bodies, their own weapons. They're paying for their own ammunition. They're paying for their own airfares. There's a solution to the problem.
Yeah, volunteers. Hey, you want to help out? Here you go. We are ready. We are ready to have you on board. We'll take anything. Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm not making fun of them because thank goodness they're throwing in. I mean, and that's the problem. It's interesting the different countries involved in this and the levels of experience and whatnot. But, Jack, you know darn well the gist of this, the most of this falls on the back of the Americans.
And needlessly, look, you know me, I am no fan of the Obama administration. But
yeah.
I'm actually going to agree with Barack Obama, partially saying that we don't need to put boots on the ground. I agree with that. That is not what the fighters on the ground there are asking for.
No.
I mean, they want help. So let's give them the help they're asking for. The Kurds and the Yasmiri, they're wanting to do for their country what the founding fathers of the United States did. They want to rise up and create the country of their choosing. They want to do the fighting. All we're going to do if we keep insisting, we've got to send boots on the ground, we've got to do the fighting because you're incapable of doing it, all we're going to do is tick off these people who at the moment are our greatest allies in the area and make them enemies.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's true, like the other day, letting the Kurds go across the Turkey border, that was smart. So at least from that perspective, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag because there are some that do want help. But I think that's partially some of the military that they're frightened, frankly, on the Iraq side of it when they get cornered by ISIS when they're in full force because they, you know, they feel overwhelmed.
It's also the Iraqi military has shown that they've got less backbone than a jellyfish, basically.
So let's
completely forget about the Iraqi military. They are useless. They've proven themselves to be cowards in the face of the enemy. And, whether we use military contractors or volunteers or what have you to lead these people and to train them. I mean, you know, the people that work for the private military contractors are usually retired special forces. You know, they know their stuff. They know the terrain. They've been in the area. Most of them will know how to actually speak these local languages, so they don't need translators and all of that sort of stuff. So stuff's not going to get lost in translation. I mean, they are the right people to send to it. Forcing troops on the ground and American, you know, the combat being dictated by the earring of the Pentagon is only going to tick off the locals and alienate those groups who would be some of our greatest allies in the area if they are allowed to fight for their freedom the way they want to fight and create a free state for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, this is the best opportunity that the United States has, provided they don't do what Britain did to many of its colonies and stick its big jackboot down and say, we know better than you guys, you're going to do it our way or you don't get any help.
Right, right. You know, well said on that part. You're right, because on the other side of it, if you're not careful, you could rock the boat, and we can ill afford to see that happen. Thanks, Jack, for your 2 cents. So, see, Jack and I both are saying, no way, can't have boots on the ground, and we actually both agree with the president on that. So speaking of politics, and I mentioned this at the top, the Wisconsin governor, Scott Walker, talked about the early voting turnout.
It was really a very narrow number of undecided voters out there, and so we want to carry the day with independents. We're making our case to independents across the state, but we also know we need a strong turnout amongst Republican-leaning voters out there.
Yeah, and see, for him, like I said, his political life on the line in a sense, because he wants to be in that 2016 Republican pack of wannabe hopefuls, whatever you want to call them. The New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, he doesn't have to worry about the whole election thing. The former Florida governor, Jeb Bush, who I think really wants to run, he's not on a ballot. He doesn't have to worry about it. Senator Marco Rubio, not on a ballot. Louisiana governor Bobby Jindal, not on a ballot. Congressman Paul Ryan will easily be reelected to the House, so he doesn't have to worry about that. So for Walker, he has to survive. He has to get past his opponent to continue to pursue the bigger ambition. And right now, the person running against him is pretty strong because of the whole jobs thing, really pushing that, pushing that, you know, we have problems with jobs and look at the administration and you can, you know, blame it on them. And it's interesting because there's a big gap between Mary Burke and Scott Walker, certainly. I mentioned that there was one politician just flat out a no-show for a Senate debate. Very surprising. North Carolina Democratic Senator Kay Hagan didn't show up. The Republican challenger, Tom Tillis, did. It was nothing to do with the fan, like they had that problem in Florida. And this was Tuesday night. Just an empty chair. This is something that's been referred to a couple of times for their fourth and final debate in that race. It was an hour-long interview, basically, by two reporters and voters that aired on the local Time Warner cable channel. Tillis just answered questions on everything that he had battled over in the past with her, Ebola, ISIS, that kind of stuff. And Hagan decided, you know, she just didn't come to the debate, decided she wasn't able to be there for that one. And so does this come down to a non-event? Does this hurt her in the end? Well, it certainly gave him a wide open piece of airtime. And for that, from that perspective, it, and this was in Raleigh, from that perspective, for him, it was probably pretty good. And this is one of those things where, you know, we're close to the election and people in North Carolina are paying attention. And some of the folks, like the North Carolina Republican Party chair, did take an advantage to throw a jab out, saying Senator Hagan works for the people of North Carolina. They expect her to show up for work. She had an opportunity to answer questions about her stimulus payday and her Ebola travel ban flip-flop and her decision to skip a classified briefing on the Islamic State for a fundraiser on Park Avenue. So they were going to nail her for a few things. But she decided to do something else instead. Stay with us.
The human body is extraordinary.
Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
All right, we're making our final turn here on this version of America Tonight. You know, there's something we didn't talk about at the top, just mentioned it briefly, but what's the latest on Ebola, 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 right? So there are now Africans that have been assigned to five U.S. airports. There is no ban yet on the flights, but there are these five airports that now have the checks. So what does that mean? That means you come in and depending on where you fly into and then you get that leap to another part in the country, the thought is you'll be pulled aside. We'll see the visas and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see the passports. We'll know and we'll be able to pull people aside, take their temperatures, and which I think is ridiculous. I still go with the why not just have the West Africa travel ban. Pretty easy. Just do it that way. And then still have people flying on, they could fly on military transport, for goodness sake. You could fit half a city on half of the amounts of cargo ships and planes, actually, that go over, if that were the case. I guess really the planes would be the thing. So You have a lot of Republicans that are jumping on this, saying these are just, you know, half measures, and this way they're avoiding what would be a sensible ban and the visa ban and all of that. And there's definitely been a call for that, because there have been 13,000 visas that have been issued to people from the West Africa area, from Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and all those spots. But it doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon. In fact, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said that everyone traveling from those areas has to land at one of the five U.S. airports to that would begin the screening from those areas before they continue into their final destination. So we know what they are. We've talked about them before. JFK is one of them in New York. Newark is another one just over the bridge in New Jersey. And Washington Dulles International, O'Hare, Hartsfield, Jackson International in Atlanta. So all those places make sense because that's where you get the hops from. No direct flights from three countries land at the airports. About 94% of the nearly 150 people traveling daily from West Africa land at the airport. So the screening includes the no-touch thermometers. We've mentioned that before. If travelers have a temperature, a symptom that is a possible show of Ebola, the CDC is working with Homeland Security and the whole screening thing. So anybody who travels from there, if they weren't originally passing through one of the five airports, they'd have to rebook their flights. That's the one thing that's happened. So you can't do it anyway. But I think ever since Thomas Duncan came in to the country, I don't think it's unreasonable to think, as we've diagnosed the first person in the United States to have Ebola and then die from Ebola, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask that we have a ban. I mean, you know, he died October 8th. At the Texas Hospital, Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. And look, you have these two nurses, Nita Pham, just 26 years old. She's at the National Institutes for Health in Maryland, and Amber Vinson is at Emory University in Atlanta. So there's been a real push to not let this go, to continue to try to come up with something. In fact, Senator Marco Rubio is pledging to introduce legislation to ban travel, but right now, nobody's coming down with it so far at this point. There's a little bit of a sigh of relief, but we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. And certainly it would be naive to think that somebody couldn't come in with Ebola. And the conversation is absolutely valid to have that conversation, because you don't have a cure. You don't have a vaccine. So you don't have a lot of room to mess around with this. You don't have a lot of room for error, frankly. And if you had that restriction, I think it would make such a big difference. But at least, I'm going to say the five airports can try to close the gap, can try. So at least there is some screening. But I just don't see how this is the complete overall solution. There needs to be something more comprehensive. But that should have happened a long time ago. So we're just playing catch up now at this point. It's the same thing we've been saying, you know, over and over and over again. And now I think the bigger question in your neighborhood and my neighborhood is, if this should happen, the unthinkable happens, somebody has it, they get in the car, whatever, is your hospital equipped to deal with it? Is everybody on board? Do they get some of the procedures so that we don't have the same situation we had in Dallas? Are we Ebola ready? Even in New York, they're saying that they're Ebola ready. You know, all the politicians are saying they are. But the health workers are saying, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. And then we have this new Gallup poll, seems to be the hour for polls, right? That says the opposite. A new poll shows that it's moved into the top 10 issues of concern to us, but it still is behind the economy and being dissatisfied with our government, of course, and especially when we were coming up on an election. And the fact that now we have 51 people that have been removed from the watch list in Texas because they showed no signs of Ebola for 21 days is a good sign. And removal of the dozens of people from monitoring might actually ease some of the anxiety. But still, it is still up there in one of the top concerns. that people are thinking about this no matter where you live. Because I'll say it again, what's the one common denominator here? No vaccines, no medications, no kind of supplement you can run out and get. There's nothing that you can take to treat Ebola. I mean, that's it. If something happens, you're in it. You're in the fight. And luckily, we've had people that have survived it, like Dr. Brantley, who's such a giving guy, is giving his blood to anyone who he can that has it that he can help. But that's not the solution if we fell prey to some kind of a mini epidemic, which, I mean, the more people that get off the monitoring list, the nurses get better, I guess the less that conversation happens. But until we know it's eradicated from West Africa, we know it's not, we're not closing the door on that, because think of the amount of time you have to incubate this. Think of the amount of time it takes with the incubation process. Then once somebody has it, then the whole isolating the person to make sure they're okay. And 21 days, some people say, is just a small mark. It's not even as much as you really should do for incubation. It should be actually a little bit more. So it's not stunning to me that first we're worried about the economy and jobs, and then Ebola is right there. And it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where you live. It is part of what the conversation is, because there is no surefire way to cure this thing. And we all know what that means. You get it. Maybe you're lucky and you survive, because we are in the United States. But if you have enough people get it and you're in the wrong place or you don't know, well, you know the rest of the story. I understand clearly why you would be concerned about that. And you know, the other thing that's interesting is we see what's happening with the conversation about how did this happen and what's going on with the Texas hospital, because every day they come out and tell us how great the hospital is. They're worried about people not going to their hospital, being afraid to go to their hospital, because clearly in Dallas the conversation is about that. But even Amber Vincent's mother says that her daughter followed Ebola protocols, the ones that they had. She was on a bunch of different shows, and her name's Deborah Barry, and she said that the way protective gear was put on and taken off was extremely thorough, and that she did all the things right, and she has no idea how it happened, but she's tired. She said of hearing about the whole Dallas to Cleveland trip and how she risked so many other people's lives because their temperature was 99.5 degrees, which is below the 100.4 degree threshold being used at the time at the CDC. Go figure. Any thoughts on the show, flip them to me, americatonight.net.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.